This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
My dog got run over. My truck got repossessed.
No. We're discussing this time the dilemma of morality in business.
Oh, no, okay. I was going to touch on my great
idea.
I like
the country music lyric song thing.
But I've gotten into country music lately. I started working on it right
now. I can't hang out with you anymore. That. Really? Wow.
Well,
you've been hanging out in Sonoma County for weeks.
That's right.
No, but see, here's what we need to do. We need to start a high-end barbecue truck in Healdsburg.
High-end barbecue. Well, yeah, you can do high-end anything barbecue in Healdsburg.
Beautiful barbecue on a truck that goes around the square.
It's like a high-end roach coach.
That's right, and it can have biodiesel gas, right? Perfect.
There you go.
Fuck, they don't care about that up there, man. No, they don't care about that up there. We just, good barbecue off a thing. We could go to all the, like, farmer's markets and things.
Okay.
Come on, man.
So I would like to discuss the moral dilemma in business. Okay, so we're talking about
I work on a ranch, man. I got
what it'd be like to sell green living ideas to Chevron. Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
Oh, okay. So this is like Paul wants me to sell my websites to some evil corporation.
BP.
But we're all
like that would be
we're
a good
all
idea.
Whores for money. We just didn't admit it. It's bullshit. I mean,
no, we're not suck all. You
you're like a little devil on my shoulder. It's wrong. I'm not listening to you. I'm gonna throw you off.
Boom! Look at you fly. Boom!
No,
my shoulder.
But I'm all the other
it is just a joke.
Let's go down to Mexico and have a taco truck and bail out.
You have a fantasy that like these companies like are just gonna fall over themselves to buy some.
I'm not saying
environmental website.
I'm not saying they're gonna do it. But at the same time, it brings up an issue. Like, for example, I always use the analogy of, you know, polishing Hitler's shoes. Is it bad to do that if you polish shoes and do it well? So, to some degree, our lifestyles are totally screwing the planet. I mean, you live in a big house, you use lots of stuff.
Rent a big house.
Okay. The bottom line is we are all, but get real, you're doing it. We're all consuming like crazy. It is a joke. And then we try to say, but we're recycling. That's fine. You're recycling, but the truth is we're using 50 times what we could ever
reproduce. It's hard to get off the... I like want to get off the consumer treadmill, but it's really hard when you live in a place like this in the U.S. in a suburb of... especially in the Bay Area. And, you know, you send your kids to the schools and you do the whole thing. And it's like, how do you not do it?
Live in the desert in a hut if you wanted to.
Well, it's an option. But seriously, like, how am I going to do that with my two kids, my 7 and my 8-year-old? And
No Impact Man? You ever seen that movie?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's sort of a joke in a way. I mean, the movie was about a guy who... his whole idea was to have no impact, right?
Right.
So he recycled everything, didn't use toilet paper, didn't use this, didn't use that.
Right.
And he was like, Mr. No Impact.
If that's your bliss.
But I thought the best part of that movie was when the old hippie sat with him in the kitchen and said, well, I have a little bit of problem with your No Impact. Your wife works for Newsweek magazine. That besides destroying millions of trees, is the epitome of the capitalist machine that is destroying the planet at a rapid rate. And that's where you're getting all your money. So, I mean, I realize you're trying to be Mr. No Impact, but given what she does for a living, isn't it a bit hypocritical? Which is a good point.
Right. Well, everybody, I mean, you can't...
I think the whole green thing needs to shove it, man. I think the real problem is what's going on in society and how, like, everybody is, like, all about money now. Like, everybody, like, people working 2 jobs or 3 jobs to pay for their shit, and then nobody spends time with each other. Everybody goes on the interweb and has a billion freaking friends on the freaking internet that they never see. That's all bullshit, man. Bullshit. We need to get back to good value. Like the 50s, man. Picket fences, neighbors, going to barbecues. But
wartime economy.
You know what's interesting?
Wartime economy.
What's interesting?
Hey, sometimes you got to have some people.
I was growing up many
military
years
ago. Many,
many years ago, it was the wife didn't work, right? Stayed home with the kids. The husband had one job. I mean, most of our stuff here, a giant middle class. And what the promise of the future was, the 3-day work week and all that kind of stuff. And what really happened? It became the 6-day work week for the parent, both parents, and the kid goes to daycare.
The middle class is dead, man.
So what happened? What happened was consumerism. People had to buy stuff. Houses, cars, stuff. And stuff they really don't need, but they think they need. Because I was watching another movie called The Kill or something, but it was about how consumerism works for food. And it was they had an interesting example, which was one of Bush things was to put Shrek to, you know, be Mr. the good kid for, you know, helping kids out. And so Shrek said, now everybody should exercise, you know, an hour a day.
Because that guy's fit.
The fat green ogre?
Yeah, they did this whole thing about exercise. And it was a big campaign supported by all the major food companies saying, this is the answer, exercise. Don't worry about eating all this crap. And then an interesting announcer put a spin on it and said, well, now it's interesting. Since that commercial, Shrek is now on 20 pieces of total garbage food, encouraging kids to eat Twinkies, sugar, and crap that will literally kill them. So, I mean,
you got to fuel the tank if you're going to do all that exercise.
So, I mean, that's the whole point where I remember the movie The Corporation, which says corporations have no souls. I believe there's a lot of truth to that because everything is based on revenue.
So, corporations have no souls, so you want us to sell everything to them.
I'm just admitting that, like you said, JC, you're a whore for money. Well, you know, I mean,
I think that there is a wave sweeping the world, not just the country, of people wanting to consume consciously and conduct business in a conscious fashion. The challenge becomes doing that in such a difficult economy.
Well, people
it would be difficult in a good economy.
I mean, the best thing that would happen for the planet, besides a major plague,
right now.
I mean, you know, if you had a major plague, that would help the planet and wipe out half the population. Or
he's such a bright guy.
Another thing that would work would be a total recession and people stop buying stuff, because that's what drives everything. But I think they're losing the war. If you look at most of the world's trying to become more like us, they're trying to consume more stuff.
Well, the countries that have newfound wealth and booming economies, like China and India, definitely.
Yeah, they want to have our lifestyle.
Their 50s. And their population's a little bit bigger than ours.
Just a wee bit.
A little bit.
And it is impossible to sustain the planet at our lifestyle. It won't work. There's not enough stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be an American. It doesn't work. There isn't enough stuff. We're already consuming way more than our fair share. So it's an impossible scenario.
But to our future Chinese overlords, I love you all, and I'm happy to serve you guys, so, you know, treat me nice.
So, and I don't really know what the answer to that is, because I'm clear, you know, as I talk to my clients, is what we are doing in my business is help make rich people happy, because that's what makes money. And they're building these big houses. We have a client, for example, he's all concerned about, well, I only want to use cloth diapers, because I don't think it's really good, because a landfill, I know the third biggest thing in a landfill is diapers, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, what he's doing to make a living is selling windows to people that are building 10,000 square foot houses.
That reminds me.
Come on.
When I was on vacation, I thought of the biggest money-making idea in the history of the world.
Okay.
Disposable diapers that biodegrade. Why hasn't anyone come up with that?
They do have
them. They have.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Do you know who G-Diapers is?
No. Huggies doesn't make disposable diapers.
Yeah, G-Diapers. And then many other companies, but G-Diapers is one of them. I actually know the guy. I interviewed a guy on my program that owns that.
Are they more expensive than regular diapers?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Right. Well, then that's the problem. Someone needs to make cheap diapers.
What's interesting is
made in China, but cheap and biodegradable.
When they talked about
the
food thing, for example, it was, if you have a buck and go in a store, how do you buy the most calories? Well, if you buy carrots, you get, I don't know, 100 calories. You buy produce, you get 150 calories. You buy candy, you get like 700 calories. You buy pop, you get 900 calories. So, the cheaper you buy, the more calories you get, because food, i.e. corn syrup, is like running
high fructose corn syrup,
is in everything. Right. And it's because it works. It's driven by money.
Have you seen the ads like from the corn people or whatever? It's funny because they have like these two women going like, oh, does that have high fructose corn syrup in it? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I don't do that. And she's like, why? Well, she's like, I don't really know. And she's like, corn syrup's just as good for you as sugar. It's small doses. Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're like totally like counter. Like, they're like, nuh-uh, corn syrup's good for you.
Well, the whole Bush administration said the key to the...
I have not seen that.
The key to the obesity, I guess 70% of the people in this country are obese. The key is more exercise. It has nothing to do with what we eat. I'm going, give me a break. So... and there is truth, it is socially responsible, but I personally haven't solved this dilemma. I mean, I consume stuff like crazy. I drive two cars. I live in a nice home. I, you know, go to shop at Costco, buy stuff made in China.
You consuming whore, you.
I am a consuming whore. But yet, I don't know how to particularly shift that lifestyle.
Well, I think the funny thing is...
I'm not ready to shift it completely.
Well, I don't really want to shift it.
But I kind of want to live on the beach in Mexico. But I just haven't...
It's like, a nice fantasy, but admit it. It is not going to happen. I mean, you are addicted, like all of us, to this, you know, you live in a... Used to be a $2 million house, now it's a $1 million house.
Well, no, it's a $1.3 million house.
Now it's a $700,000 house.
Yeah,
Who knows? Well, it's funny because I like listening to our like clients, because we have some clients in like Berkeley, and if you don't know this area, that's very much the hippie capital
that's
of the world.
Right.
And like, you know, they always wax poetic about organic this and eating here and blah, 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 and they buy their groceries at Whole Foods or markets and stuff. And I'm like, that's all great. But when you have like $100 for food for the month, you like fucking Kraft macaroni and cheese sounds pretty damn good some nights. And it's like, I'm sorry, I know it's terrible and I know it's the nutritional value isn't there. And we try to buy, you know, the best stuff for our baby. Like, we want to, you know, help him out. But like, if I have to eat crap, I have to eat crap. And it's like, it's real easy for people on the higher.
Right. To be all like,
we should all do this. Or like, yeah. I'm still waiting for the government to put double pane windows in my house. I'd love to have them. Solar power me, man. Yeah. I'm all for it, but...
Actually, did you hear there are a couple of companies, speaking of solar power, that there are some really interesting initiatives happening right now. I know I have a friend who interviewed for a job with a company that is... They're basically they're helping people finance solar back out into their mortgages. And other ways to amortize the solar costs over like really long periods of time.
See, the ones I've seen are like they put them on your housing tax, like you're, and so they attach them, but you know, then your housing, you know, your tax gets higher.
Well, it's another paradox. Explain to me.
You always got to
why plugging in your electric.
Yeah, but if it's affordable though, then that's okay. Yeah. The thing is the lump sum of paying for solar all at once.
Well, affordable is all a relative term. Like if you're already not paying your property taxes because you can't afford that, I mean, green sounds like a great idea, but you know, I'm just trying to make
the guy.
Money.
I actually have a client who has his new client just did a $2 million remodel house and has a Tesla, which is really efficient, right? So tell me why burning fossil fuels 500 miles away and taking electricity and putting it over power lines to get to your house and storing it and then putting in a battery is more efficient than just burning the fuel in your car in the first place.
Because of where is the electricity coming from?
Yeah.
Fossil fuels. Most electricity comes from fossil fuels.
That's not true.
Well, yeah.
It depends on where you are. Now, you can figure that out, but that's a generalization. It depends on...
He lives
in this country, you don't think most...
He lives a generation.
In this country, you don't think most...
It depends on where you are.
And Ross probably...
Very large.
Small children make their power...
But it's still
the way we make our power here is we have our young children on treadmills.
Yeah.
Most of the day.
It's a joke. We burn fossil fuels in most cases. I mean, there's some solar, some wind, but it's not much.
No, there's nuclear, and there's
that's why I have.
No, there's nuclear. There we go. There's a winner. I mean, it could be.
Well, it's better than
we don't do with the waste
coal.
So what happens to nuclear? We don't know how to get rid of nuclear waste. It is a very dilemma.
I'm allergic to all this green talk.
Put it in the ocean underneath the oil spill. Oh, did you hear what the BP's doing? You know what these guys are doing? This is what happens when you put the inmates in charge of the prison. Basically, they're using this... Oh, I can't remember the name of the substance, but it's pushing the oil underneath the water so the spill doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, no, they're that's diluting it. So, but you can't clean it up that way.
Right, no, because more toxic.
Right.
You add this
because,
with
and
the oil.
Also, instead of it just being on the surface slick, it's basically dropped down. So now instead of just killing the animals on the top, it's now in more of an ecosystem. So now it kills much more animals.
Well, so I still quest. Here we are.
Although I did read an interesting thing that said the whole thing is a scam.
What's a scam?
That the whole BP spill is not it was actually just against Obama.
There's a conspiracy theory that says it's genocide.
There's one that says that it's actually a tar volcano. And then it's a naturally occurring event.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty good. I should send you the
awesome.
Email.
I love that.
I'll send you the conspiracy.
But we still the only conclusion I've come to after, you know, sort of beating up the, okay, I realize that I'm screwing up the planet, and I think the green thing is going to keep popular because there's a built-in, I think, morality that people feel bad. They're not going to change it, but they feel bad about the rate they're destroying the planet, and they know this is not a good thing to drive two cars and blah, 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 but
allegedly.
They're not going to stop. But from whatever spiritual teachings I've figured out, the only thing you can do is, you know, work on your, lack of a better term, your own spiritual growth, and try to grow from inside. And figure this is just all a big sort of play, and that we're all actors in the play, and that the mission is, it's an individual sort of soul mission to figure out what you need to do personally to grow spiritually. And maybe it's drive the car, maybe it's not. Maybe it's, you know, live in a tent in the desert. Maybe it's live in a giant, you live in a giant house. But pretty much spiritual growth is the purpose of it all anyway. So if you can go inside and figure out what is right for you, what is moral, ethical, you know, and what is not in your own belief system, then you have to go according to that. And if you really feel bad about driving a car, drive a bicycle. If you don't, drive it. If you'd really feel bad about eating beef, because I guess beef is the number one, even over petroleum.
Yes, yeah.
Number one cause of greenhouse gases.
And also use of water, use of water. So bad. Yeah.
It's horrible. And
I had the best buffalo.
But where would the cows
in taco tonight? But
where would the cows go if we did not take care of them? They're completely domesticated.
So, I mean, we live our entire day in this moral dilemma.
India, where they're sacred.
Mm. And I don't know.
Too many of them, and they pollute the ozone over there.
So, Sean, you didn't include this episode. What do you suggest?
Are you at Expedia?
Not anymore.
The moral dilemma that we all go through in living our life versus what we know is probably best for the planet, best for ourselves. I mean, we know what we should eat, but we don't do it. We know we should exercise, sometimes we don't do it. We know we should meditate, we don't do it. We know the dilemma between what we know and what we actually do.
So the question is, what?
What is your suggestion for all of us out here that know all those things, whether it's we should eat better, exercise more, meditate more, or do a job that isn't screwing up the planet, or consume less stuff?
I live by one simple quota. If you are happy in your life, you're doing it right. If you're not happy in your life, you're doing it wrong. If you overcomplicate it past that, you've gone too far.
Well, and I think, I think what JC said has a lot of truth value, and I think it's really, I think you need to follow your own internal moral compass, that you have to trust your intuition, you need to educate yourself, but ultimately, you have to do what you can live with, what you can sleep with at night, and you can't live based on somebody else's sense of morality. You have to believe in your own, and hopefully you're a moral person who was raised right. If you weren't, we're all screwed anyway, or if enough of the people out there aren't. But I think you just have to follow your heart, and you have to do what you can sleep at night with, you know. And I don't know what else to say. I mean, you need to be happy. You need to be conscious of your effects on other people, and then make your decision from there. Ignorance is definitely not an excuse. You can't say, "Oh, I had no idea that I was doing all these things," and they were destructive to my fellow neighbors or to the planet or whatever. But if you educate yourself and then you say, yeah, I'm okay with that, well, you know, then as long as you can sleep. I don't know what to say. I mean, I can't project my sense of morality on other people, you know,
because it's way over there.
It's way overdone. Yeah, I mean, because I definitely try to live in the balance. I'm a gray area person. I'm not an extremist. I'm not going to be, you know,
taking the moral high ground. Right, exactly.
I just build websites based on that. But you know, educate yourself, be conscious, and try to. We don't all need to be no impact man, but I think that if we can, I think you know what I believe in is find out where the 80% is, which is the 20% of effort. There's certain things that you can do, minor, like logistic life changes, that can make huge differences in terms of your water consumption. You know, water is the big issue, right? It really is. Water, we're going to be fighting wars, major wars over water within the next 10 years. People are going to realize this. It's big. And everybody just turns their tap on. They still don't get it. Water is a precious commodity, and it is running out. It's running out, not in the sense of it's a finite system.
There's oceans full of this stuff.
It's a closed loop system,
Sean.
But yeah, I know. The problem is that the amount of usable, drinkable water is dwindling at a rapid rate because multinational corporations are stealing our water from our water tables and selling it back to us in bottles. And that's a big issue. So there's an area.
That's why I don't buy bottled water.
you know,
tap water,
rainwater collection, whatever you can do. But whatever it is, whether it's burning fossil fuels or your water use or whatever, is find the places where you can make big changes.
I'm going to move to Lake Shasta, get a houseboat with a bunch of guns. And
well,
I'm going to defend that.
Well,
water.
Definitely defend your water. That's for sure. I mean, regardless of how you use it, defend it, because there are people out there that want to steal your water.
Los Angeles.
Yeah, and if you don't believe me, watch Blue Gold World Water Wars by my buddy Sam Bazzo, or Flow by Irina Salina, or any one of the number of movies out there that document the current water crisis. So anyway, back
I'm
to
the happy note.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
We have problems in this world.
It's
we need
true.
To
well,
them.
Follow your own moral compass. That's all you can do.
Yeah, so follow your own
wherever
moral
direction
compass
it's pointed, you should head.
Think more about others than yourself.
That's always a good idea.
Good night.
Good night.
Sleep well.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org. Or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
LexNet Consulting Group is your one-stop resource for a selection of award-winning CRM, email marketing, and business intelligence solutions. LexNet serves small to mid-sized companies across the Western U.S. from our offices in the San Francisco Bay Area, Southern California, and Seattle. LexNet's tailored business solutions are designed to increase revenue and reduce costs. LexNet will help you develop a consistent sales, marketing, and customer support approach to drive your company's revenues, even during tough economic times. Every business has unique needs, and LexNet will help you meet those needs with customized, integrated solutions that give your business easily accessible and actionable information. To find out more about the powerful and effective business management solutions that LexNet offers, please visit lexnetcg.com, where you'll find helpful resources including articles, white papers, industry news, customer success stories, and informative podcasts like this one. While there, be sure to sign up for our Customer 360 newsletter filled with CRM and email marketing news, tips, and tricks. LexNet, your partner in business success.